It's Tuesday, December 16th, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. If you've been following the Stash blog or the news or the Normal webpage, you know that the transition team for President-elect Barack Obama has finally replied to the number one question asked on the change.gov website concerning the legalization of marijuana. The answer might not be what we hoped for, but maybe it's not all that bad. We'll talk about it a little bit in our hemp headlines. For our Government at Work segment today, we're going to go back to September and an interview I conducted with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. The story of a young man named Mike Maselli, who's a medical marijuana patient there, who is probably celebrating the 6-1 decision in the New Jersey Senate Committee to move forward on a medical marijuana bill. Also, I'm bringing you some exclusive audio from this weekend's Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. This is from the Cannabis Legal Panel and Eugene, Oregon attorney Brian Michaels discussing the rights of medical marijuana patients in Oregon as it relates to driving and specifically driving under the influence charges. There's some really good advice to be heeded here, not just for medical marijuana patients, but for everyone in the cannabis community who happens to also drive a vehicle. We've got another one of our stupid stoner stories coming up right after the hemp headlines and a musical break from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, so stay tuned. Okay, Stashers, we've got a lot on tap here, so let's load up an original Gandalf from Starfish Designs and enjoy your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and/or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. President-elect Obama on legalization. No. From the Open for Questions response on change.gov, the Obama-Biden transition team's website. The number one question, quote, will you consider legalizing marijuana so that the government can regulate it, tax it, put age limits on it, and create millions of new jobs and create a billion-dollar industry right here in the U.S.? From S. Mann, Denton. Answer: President-elect Obama is not in favor of the legalization of marijuana. Look, did you think the answer to that question was going to be, yes, indeed, on his first day in office, President-elect Obama will sign an executive order immediately legalizing the use and cultivation of cannabis in the United States? Those of us who know the growing truth about cannabis see this as such a no-brainer. It can be very frustrating when the people you trust to be fair, honest, open-minded, and compassionate just dismiss the issue out of hand. There wasn't even any explanation. Just no. No acknowledgement of the economic benefits and social controls raised by the question. To us, it's as if we'd asked, feeding puppies into wood chippers is a ghastly way of dealing with canine overpopulation. Would you consider ending this barbaric practice? And the head of the dog shelter just said, no. But that's not the way most people see the cannabis issue. If Barack Obama had said he was in favor of marijuana legalization, to them it would be as shocking as the puppies in the wood chipper. I keep trying to remind reformers that yes, the truth is on our side, but the truth has very little to do with politics. Emotions, identities, and culture do. Oh, and money. Gobs and gobs of money. We are still a them and a those people to most of America. There is still a lot of hate and fear of us, and our culture is still considered counter. It's not the truth, for we are actually as diverse as America, but again, it's the political reality that matters. So if a president-elect came out and said he was for legalization, he gains very little benefit from our political support, and he'd pay a huge political price from even a majority of his own party. He also probably surmises that stoners with broadband can make a huge splash in an online poll, but aren't so good at translating that to popular real-world support. In other words, we gave him a question impossible to say yes to, even if he is sympathetic to the premise. The question I'm waiting for an answer to is actually farther down the list. Question number 7, quote, 13 states have compassionate use programs for medical marijuana, yet the federal government continues to prosecute sick and dying people. Isn't it time for the federal government to step out of the way and let doctors and families decide what is appropriate? End quote. This is a better question because he was asked this in the primaries, and he supported ending DEA raids on medical marijuana states. He cannot politically favor this, especially following Michigan's vote and because it makes him look cruel. He can answer this one without a direct yes that makes him look like he supports California's pot shops to the detractors. He can give a nuanced, look, I believe that the federal law enforcement resources are better utilized protecting America from terrorists than to get involved in the personal medical decisions between doctors and patients where states have decided that that is a reasonable treatment with strong controls and guidance from a physician, or something like that. Now, if you want to get radical, here's the question I would ask of President-elect Obama. Young black men are arrested at 5 times the rate of young white men and incarcerated at 13 times the rate of young white men for drug-related charges. You were candid about your use of marijuana and cocaine as a young black man. Do you support the arrest and incarceration of the next potential Barack Obama for mistakes you made in your youth? That's probably going to kill my chances for a White House press pass, huh? One Marine's Marijuana Story. I get emails here at the Daily Audio Stash that make me angry at my country. This is the story of one young Marine who emailed me, who served valiantly in Iraq, only to have his country toss him aside for his unpardonable sin of cannabis use. Corporal, stories like yours are why I wake up every day fired up and ready to go to fight on the front lines of this war on drugs. I joined the Marine Corps in October 2004, where I spent my career as an infantry machine gunner. Come January of 2008, I was a corporal with 2 combat tours in Iraq under my belt and only about 9 months left on my contract. Things were about to change. After my second tour, I went back to my hometown on our post-deployment Christmas leave for a total of 30 well-deserved days. Upon my return, we were required to take a urinalysis, on which I popped positive for THC. Now, please keep in mind that for the entire previous month, I was not working. I was not leading Marines into combat, training them for firefights, or interacting with them at all during this period. What I'm trying to say is that lives were never at stake. I am responsible enough not to do things that interfere with work. That said, I do like to enjoy myself on my off time. Anyway, back to the story. I tried to fight the charges since the letter of the law states that I intentionally ingested an illegal substance, and there is no way to prove I ingested the weed intentionally. However, it was explained to me that in a military courtroom, the test results are enough to prove me guilty. That rather than being innocent until proven guilty, I was walking into the courtroom guilty until I could prove my innocence. So I was court-martialed, given a military lawyer, and found guilty of 2 counts of wrongful use of marijuana. I was sentenced to 30 days in the brig, reduced to the rank of private, reduction of 2/3 pay for 2 months, and an other than honorable discharge. My lawyer told me that, though harsh, this punishment was better than the one I would have received if I had tried to plea my case. So I went to the brig. I went to drug addiction classes. I dealt with all the crap of being a private. I was broke. But I was about to get out and get on with my life, so that was good. Little did I know, my problems were just starting. Like I said, the sentence I received was rough, but it only affected me until I left the military. That is, except my other than honorable discharge. This, while not the worst type of discharge, has prevented me from getting any benefits that other veterans are eligible for. Basically, it's like I never served. I spent what little money I had to move back home. The government reimburses travel expenses for military personnel, but I found out that I was not eligible for this reimbursement. I lost my GI Bill, which I paid for my first year in the military, and cannot receive money for school. Also, given today's economy and the fact that I was never taught a trade in the military, it has been difficult for me to find work since I've been back. But when I filed for unemployment assistance, I was denied because of my discharge. Furthermore, when I tried to enroll at the Veterans Hospital, I was denied service. The same went for applying for military-related disabilities, and VA representatives won't let me near them. What's more, I received a letter from the Marine Corps stating that they had overpaid me and that I owe them $1,700. So here I am, unemployed, living with my parents, and struggling harder because of the fact that I served in the military. In conclusion, I think it can be agreed that this is a case where the punishment does not fit the crime. This is but one example of why the reformation of marijuana laws is a necessary and noble cause. Marijuana didn't ruin my life. Marijuana prohibition did. British woman spared jail after growing cannabis as a painkiller. From the Gazette Live. A polio victim who built a cannabis factory in her back garden at Hartlepool and then used the drug as a makeshift painkiller has been spared jail. Teesside Crown Court heard how Michelle Robinson took out a bank loan to have the outhouse constructed and an electricity supply installed. Police raided the West View Road property on May 15th and were shown around the house by the 35-year-old defendant. The mother of three handed over 4 small bags of cannabis and took officers to the outhouse where 41 plants were growing under a system of lights and fans. The court heard Robinson had been struck down by polio when she was 2 and used cannabis as a painkiller as she suffered allergies to some over-the-counter drugs. Robinson, who has no previous convictions, pleaded guilty to producing a Class C drug. Judge Tony Briggs said, quote, "It is a very unfortunate business to see someone in your position in front of the Crown Court. There is no question of this being a commercial operation. I have seen your medical history. It is unusual, but it does appear you have difficulty accessing and are allergic to some of the painkillers for your disability and use cannabis for that purpose." End quote. The judge gave Robinson an 18-month community order with supervision and ordered the forfeiture and destruction of the plants.
All right, it seems you're not a drug dealer or a drug addict, just a woman with polio using cannabis for pain relief. Right then, no jail for you. Instead, we'll just destroy your plants and medicine, make sure you suffer in pain without the medicine for at least 18 months, and splash your name across the headlines. How's that?
Oh, man. I also like how they're now cannabis factories. I've seen that terminology cropping up in various media reports, or marijuana factories here in the States. A factory is so much scarier than a garden, isn't it, boys and girls? I'm also wondering what a makeshift painkiller is. The way I figure it, something either kills pain or it doesn't, right? There can be variations of painkiller. I mean, one could be morphine and make you forget about a freshly sawed off leg, and one could be just the aspirin that dulls the pain of a throbbing headache. But if they kill the pain, they're painkillers. If you took aspirin for the sawed off leg, it wouldn't be a makeshift painkiller because it would do little to nothing to stop the pain. I say if the woman with polio smoked cannabis and it killed her pain, it's a painkiller, period.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
New Hampshire mom calls cops on son, ends up under arrest. From Boston.com.
Conway, New Hampshire. A new Conway, New Hampshire woman who called police to accuse her son of using drugs ended up charged with marijuana possession herself. Police say Kristen Land, age 39, asked police to remove her 21-year-old son from her home last week because he was using illegal drugs and wasn't abiding by house rules. She then allowed police to search her home, where authorities say they found a small amount of marijuana in her bedroom. Land was charged with 3 counts of drug possession. Her son agreed to leave the house.
What drugs was she accusing her son of using? If it was just marijuana, why didn't she just ask him to share? It should go without saying that if you're holding, you don't call the cops to complain that someone else is holding. But buried underneath this stupid stoner story is a very real problem for our community: the underreporting of crime. How many robberies, assaults, rapes, how much domestic violence is never reported because the victim is in possession of cannabis, or would test positive for cannabis and face numerous sanctions? Hey there, Stashers. How would you like to win a 6-night trip to the most cannabis-friendly spot on Earth? That's right, a trip to Amsterdam for 4, sponsored by the Normal Foundation. It's an exciting new fundraiser for our organization, partnering with Win for Charity to help us raise money so we can provide programs and services to normal members like you. Win for Charity is an online hosting solution for charitable organizations that allows us to harness the power of the internet to increase our fundraising ability. How do you win? Simple. Just go to www.winforcharity.com/normal. That's win, the number 4, charity.com/NORML. Click your Buy Ticket Now button, then just select Normal as your charity. The vacation package includes 6 nights in an Amsterdam city hotel, including breakfast, entrance to the Rijksmuseum, and a canal bus day pass, round-trip airfare, private transfers from airport to hotel and hotel to airport, a full-day tour to Delft, The Hague, and Madurodam, and a full-day tour to the windmills and Volendam. Get your tickets now at winforcharity.com/normal. Your ticket helps to support our organization, and you could win 6 nights in Amsterdam. Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies, man. It's an honest day's work.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
Afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
In our Government at Work segment today, we're going to give you an interview from September of this year with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. And it was about Mike Maselli, a medical marijuana patient who wanted to testify about his medical use of cannabis and how it had changed his life. Well, it turns out that testimony from people like Mike Maselli helped to get this bill passed through the Senate Health, Human Services, and Senior Citizens Committee in New Jersey. Six Senate committee members voted for the bill and only one voted against it. That's going to lead this bill on through the New Jersey Assembly, and we might indeed see New Jersey become the 14th medical marijuana state because of the strong stand taken by patients like Mike Maselli and activists like Ken Wolski. This is Ken Wolski from September of this year. And Ken, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Well, thank you very much, Russ.
Well, I'm calling you today just because I had gotten this press release from you, and a terrible story about in New Jersey about a patient who's desperately in need of medical marijuana, and some of the effects now that are happening because he's been caught with his medical marijuana. And I just wanted you to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners a little bit about what's happening with this gentleman.
Well, thanks, Russ. I appreciate that. Yes, you know, we're very upset about this story here in New Jersey. I know Mike Maselli personally. He's a very nice 27-year-old man. He's married to a lovely wife, Marie, and they have a 8-month-old son. And Mike was a volunteer at our organization, the Coalition for Medical Marijuana. He volunteered at several of our events, and he attended several of our meetings, and he was just, an active volunteer. And he's very open about his Crohn's disease, perhaps too open about it, because he was arrested on the 4th of September. Apparently, DIFAS got some information that he was growing marijuana in his home, and the police came with DIFAS, and they arrested him and his wife, and they took the baby away from them. So
now this DIFAS, what is DIFAS again?
I'm sorry, DIFAS here in New Jersey, that's the Division of Youth and Family Services.
Okay.
That's a child protection agency we have here in New Jersey. This happened on the 4th of September, and he said that, although they have since gotten their child back, at least the wife, Marie, has gotten the child back. And, let's see. He has restrictions on when he can visit the child now, his own son, and he can't. He has to visit him under supervision. So,
and of course, he's got no protection there in the state of New Jersey. Not even an affirmative defense for his use of marijuana.
No.
Okay.
No. As a matter of fact, Mike called me when the police were in his house, and I told him, Mike, medical use of marijuana is not a defense here in New Jersey, and you just need to get yourself a lawyer.
Yeah.
They're a struggling young couple, and, he asked us to start a legal defense fund for him because he does intend to raise the medical defense of marijuana. It's quite clear he had his doctor recommended that he research marijuana back when he first was diagnosed with Crohn's disease over 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think, maybe some people don't understand, maybe they've never heard of Crohn's disease and don't understand how serious this is, and that this is, life-threatening to the guy because, he can't sleep, he's got, constant problems, bowel problems and cramping and pain.
Crohn's disease is an inflammatory bowel condition that's characterized by frequent diarrhea and, of course, inflammation of the bowels. Cramping, and abdominal pain, inability to eat. You certainly don't have, you're not anxious to eat when you know that you're going to be having diarrhea 10, 20 times a day.
That's got to affect your
sleep. You're also nauseous in addition to that.
Well, yeah, and it's got to affect your sleep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so he, you know, people with Crohn's disease find that it's a chronic condition. It doesn't go away. There's no cure for it. They don't know what causes the condition. It tends to run in families. But oftentimes people will wind up in the hospital with outbreaks or exacerbations of their conditions, where their condition gets worse, and they need to get intravenous feedings because they can be dehydrated, you know, with the severe diarrhea, and they need to get you know, their bowel. Well, stop the inflammation, the serious outbreak of the inflammation in their bowels, with oftentimes steroids and antibiotics.
Hmm. And this has been the effect this has had on Mike before he was using the medical marijuana. He was using all sorts of other sorts of medications to help this, but it didn't help. And he was, you know, wasting away. I mean, this your letter here talks about him losing 25 pounds in a.
Yes. He did lose 25 pounds. His wife gave birth in December of 2007, and then he stopped all marijuana use. He was just concerned about it,
sure.
You know, the legal implications here in New Jersey. But he said that within 3 months he lost about 25 pounds and was wasting away quickly, and the pain was just incredible. He just couldn't take it anymore. So he started using the marijuana therapeutically again. He gained weight. He felt better. Things were doing well for him up until September 4th, really, when the police burst into his house and arrested him.
Now, does he face the possibility of jail time for this?
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, he wouldn't have any medical marijuana in jail at all.
No. Nope. As a matter of fact, in the just a few days after he was arrested and lost access to his therapeutic marijuana, he lost 9 pounds in 2 days.
Jeez.
And then 3 days later, he was hospitalized. On September 7th, he was back in the hospital with the outbreak of his, or the, you know, complications of his Crohn's disease. And then he spent 9 days in the hospital. He just got out of the hospital a few days ago.
Now, you've been working really hard with the Coalition for Medical Marijuana of New Jersey to push a bill, the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. What's holding this up in New Jersey from helping people like Mike Maselli?
Yeah, that's one of the ironic things about it, Russ, that we do have a bill that would protect Mike. I mean, what he was doing would have been legal. Well, he was over the plant limit that's in the bill, but, you know, right now it's not legal to have any plants.
Yeah.
So. The number of plants is kind of an academic question, but we've had this bill in the New Jersey legislature for almost 4 years now, and it's been basically being held up in the committees. It's in the Senate Health Committee and it's in the Assembly Health Committee, and they've actually had hearings on it in the Assembly Health Committee just in May of this year. And in the Senate Health Committee, they had hearings in June, I believe, of last year or the year before. They were not voting hearings.
Yeah.
So they were just sort of informational hearings. You know, we thought the hearings went well, but, you know, they were hotly contested. The White House sent down a deputy drug czar from the Office of National Drug Control Policy to testify in New Jersey against our bill. And basically they're held up in committee.
It just infuriates me when I see the federal people coming down to oppose these state medical marijuana initiatives. You know, the philosophy seems to be that, you know, because somebody might get high, people like Mike Maselli have to suffer.
Yeah, yep, that's it.
It's just crazy.
I'm sorry. It's really very sad, you know, that patients aren't protected. And, you know, this is what we're all about here in New Jersey, you know, trying to teach the public about the benefits of medical marijuana and protect patients, you know, from the kind of outrage that happened to the Micellis just earlier this month.
Yeah. Well, let's give everyone your website address so people can learn more about this fight and how they can get involved.
Sure. It's www.cmmnj, as in Coalition for Medical Marijuana, .org. cmmnj.org.
Okay. And, we'll have a link to that up at our blog, too, so people can click on through.
Oh, thanks, Russ. So, there are any number of ways that you can get involved here in New Jersey and support the cause that we are dedicated to.
And if anyone wants to offer support or words of encouragement to Mike Maselli and his family, is there an address they can mail a card or anything like that?
Well, we have a legal defense fund that we're starting.
Okay.
For him. You know, he's really struggling with his legal bills. The legal bills for defense are just really astounding. Lawyers charge $200 to $300 an hour to defend cases, and then it's not unusual to have thousands of dollars of a retainer fee for a lawyer, mm-hmm. in addition to the hourly rate. So he can contact the public can contact Mike through our address at the Legal Defense Fund at 844 Spruce Street in Trenton, New Jersey, 08648. And
okay.
We'd be happy to send along any wishes or any contributions to his legal defense fund.
We'll have that address posted up at our website as well so people can find it easily. And help out Mike Maselli, just one of many people in the 38 states that don't recognize medical marijuana who are needlessly suffering because of a stupid federal law. Ken Wolski is the executive director of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey at cmmnj.org. And Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Russ. I really appreciate this opportunity to reach a nationwide audience.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, Chicago!
Barack Obama has been elected the 44th president of the United States. But will he bring us, the cannabis community,
the change we can believe in?
It's an issue of doctors prescribing medical marijuana. I think that should be appropriate.
Normal is asking you to take action and help us hold President-elect Obama to his word with our $10,000 pro-cannabis law reform ad contest.
When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just make a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation that answers the question, what should President Obama do about pot? You can submit as many entries as you like, and winning videos will be featured on Normal's website and television campaigns.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
The grand prize is $3,500, so enter early and enter often.
Well, I would not punish doctors if it's prescribed. That may require some changes in federal law.
Contest deadline is January 15th, 2009. Check norml.org for official contest rules.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama, we couldn't agree more.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. All right, Stashers, we got another great song with a video to boot. Log on to our blog at stash.normal.org. You can watch the video for this song. It's from a band called Jump Little Children, which was formed in 1991 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They were known for their unique sound, energetic live performances, and a willingness to interact with fans. They built a pretty strong following over 14 years, but they played their final show December 30th, 2005 in Charleston, South Carolina. A couple of their tunes did get to network television. They were heard on the shows Everwood and Scrubs. So you can still find out about this band and check out their other albums at the website jumphq.com. The album we're about to hear a song from is called Vertigo, and they've got a bunch of other albums. There's a song from Jump Little Children, and it's called too high.